Well, welcome to a special Max Inc. radio interview. I got to tell you about this guy that we're going to be talking with tonight, Dusty Bow. Incredible musician. Now, Dusty is playing a show at the Red Rooster in Madison. It's coming up on Sunday, October 16th, 3:30 in the afternoon, so no reason to skip it. Of course, playing with one of Wisconsin's favorites, Aaron Williams and the Hoodoo. So I'm going to just call it Sunday Fun Day, Dusty. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is terrific. Okay, so you are in the midst of a several-month tour right now. Your tour is called On With The Ride. I kind of get that. I like it. How's it going, and where are you right now?
It's going really good. On With The Ride, we called it that. Well, that was Shirley, my booking agent's idea, because that's the opening track of the album. And it just suits the, you know, On With The Ride. Let's do it, you know, take it on. And we are currently in Branchville, New Jersey, at my buddy's brother's house. Who we stayed with my old band when we were touring back in 2014.
Ooh.
We played out in Jersey and we came here for a couple of days and camped and just figured it out yesterday that we can actually do it again here. So I'm very, very thankful for Mike. Thank you, Mike, and your family for letting us stay, for sure.
That is cool. I mean, that's just life on the road, right? And right now you're talking to me from your truck, which I always, you know, this is just how it is.
It is. Yeah. It's funny because before we figured out we could stay here at Mike's place, we thought we were going to be camped out in a Walmart parking lot for like 7 days, because that was the only other option we really had. You know, we're DIY independent, you know, and you got to save your bucks when you can, you know. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so this has been a very, very clutch, you know, being able to look. We're on a 18-acre farm, so a lot better of a scenery than a Walmart parking lot in New Jersey.
good for you.
We're happy. Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk to you about originally being from Kentucky. You know, Kentucky is so interesting. I lived there for a little while myself.
Yeah.
Did you feel any influence for your music coming from Kentucky?
You know, to be completely honest, not growing up, but I mean, some of the stuff, you know, on this record, you know, but I didn't really start getting into like writing, you know, Southern rock and country music weirdly until I moved to Los Angeles. But that's not to say that it didn't come from, you know, Kentucky roots, but I also just kind of, once I started really diving into different genres and this and the other, I was raised on classic rock and funk and, you know, my first concert was Earth, Wind, and Fire. So, you know, it was all the Beatles, the Stones, Zeppelin, AC/DC, Skinner, you know, and it was, Jimi Hendrix. But yes, in a way, especially with this album, you know, like songs like, Words Don't Mean Much and How Could We Go Wrong, or, Throw It All Away. It's got kind of a swampy blues to it, but I didn't really start getting into like Kentucky, like bluegrass music and stuff like that until I was really in like my mid 20s, late 20s.
Very cool though. Yeah. You are also doing something very, very cool. You're giving back to Kentucky while you're on this tour. Why? Tell me a little bit about what you're doing and how other people can help out.
So when we were on our first leg of this tour in July, I was, you know, some days can be rough on the road, and I was just in a really weird mood. And then I saw a bunch of posts about the floods that were happening, and I just saw people that were losing their homes and their siblings, their family members, and like, And I was just like, oh my God, like, why am I have no reason to be upset or depressed or down right now. Like when there's people that are in my home state that are, their lives literally were just crumbled or taken away from them. And so then I immediately messaged Shirley and also my publicist. And I was like, I want to do the next time when we go out for this next leg, I want to do a benefit for these people just because they need help, you know? And it's one of those things that it makes me, want to work harder and want to also, you know, I would much rather say, hey, come see me and my band and for a good cause, opposed to just, hey, come see me and my band. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things that I struggle with, like promoting myself and this, that, and the other. Cause it can be, you know, I don't want to like annoy people and this, that, and the other, but now it's like, hey, I'm going to annoy you because we're going to help a bunch of people as much as we can. And so it's been really cool. Like, you know, you know, and I didn't even we didn't even contact the Team Kentucky Flood Relief. I was just like, I'm going to put my link up there and we're going to raise awareness and donate, you know, what we can at the end of the tour, depending on what we make, you know, portions of the proceeds. And we're taking, some people will be like, hey, you know, they'll tip us 15 or 20 bucks and say, hey, you know, we want to put this towards the flood relief and we'll just, you know, you can just do it on the right there on the website. But it's been nice, you know, it's been cool. You know, seeing some other people step up and want to give back because things could always do worse, you know, and when people need help like that, everybody should just, you know, do what you can. And if you can't, I know not everybody's in the position, times are tough. And, I know not everybody's in the position to donate, but you can share, you can still raise awareness. So, you know, that's kind of what we're doing.
Tell me your website for anyone who will be listening to this and maybe they can't get to your show, but would still like to help.
Sure. It's just dustybow.com. It's dustybow.com. And, it should be the front page when you go there, it's right to the, and you can donate however much you can.
Great. I think it's a terrific effort. Thank you for trying to make a difference. Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk about the music.
Yeah.
You know, it's described as alternative rock, I guess. And then someone else wrote delightfully eclectic.
Yeah.
What do you think? I just think it's awesome. Wow, the first time I heard you, I was blown away. So good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
How do you describe it?
I think alternative rock or alternative Southern rock is a good way to put it because there's a lot more, there's definitely a lot of Southern influence in the majority of the songs. There's a couple of them that are, you know, I guess that wouldn't classify as, you know, I have so many different influences, you know, like I said, I grew up listening to classic rock and then, you know, I had a pop phase. I had a metal phase. I had a psychedelic phase. I had, you know, a blues phase. Like, and now the way that I've been for honestly, like the last 10 years, I love writing so many different kinds of music and being in bands where a lot of bands, you're kind of like, you have your lane per se, like you have your style or your genre, like, and nothing against them. Like they're much, you know, like AC/DC, like every AC/DC song is an AC/DC rock and roll bluesy, just,
you know,
rocking,
what you're getting,
rocking, you know what you're getting. And then, but I also love bands like, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd or the Black Crowes or the Beatles or, you know, people like Sturgill Simpson and Chris Stapleton. And like, I like writing songs like that. And it's like, as an independent artist, when I don't have a label or I don't have band members telling me that like, well, no, we got, you know, it doesn't fit our vibe. It's like, well, I can do whatever I can write whatever I want and I can release whatever I want. And that's kind of how, you know, a big point of the Vulture and the Fox is, is finding yourself. Like it's doing what you feel and not letting others, you know, dictate what you do, you know. And it's because as an artist, that's very important, I think, for people to just to doesn't matter what other people say, doesn't matter what other people think. Like if it means something to you and you love it, and then it's going to speak to somebody. And that's the other thing too, where I really like having this kind of multi-genre, you know, alternative thing, I guess, if you will, is where, you know, some people might like my softer acoustic ballads, or they might like my more hard rock and stuff, you know. Like some people may not like the whole album, but I think for the most part, there's a little bit of, you know, if somebody were to listen to it from start to finish, actually take the time and have the patience to listen to 12 songs, then I think they'd find something in there that they'd either really enjoy listening to, or it would at least speak to them if they dug into the lyrics. And 'cause there's a lot of emotion and roller coaster of feelings that went into it.
I know I sampled quite a bit, and wow, I think you're right on when you say there's something there for everyone. And if they just take the time to listen, I think they're really going to like it. You mentioned the name of the album, The Vulture and the Fox. This is your debut album. Can that be right?
Yes. Debut full length. I did release an EP. I did release an EP a few years ago when I was, I was just kind of getting started as a solo artist. And I, you know, it wasn't really, I'm going to be really vulnerable with saying this, because I actually took the EP down, you know, from all streaming platforms. Yeah. There's one song, I'm Done, that's still available. But I was kind of going towards the country market. And that's not, like, again, going back to like, hey, you got to be this one thing.
Right.
I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I was like, that was kind of like the plan with the EP. It was like, I was going to try to tap into the country world. And then it's like, that's not me, you know? And I do love, country music, you know?
Sure.
But I am not at heart or at soul, like a country artist, you know. I'm a mutt. I'm a mix of all kinds of things. So, you know, which that's the power of being. And I think one of the biggest advantages of being an independent musician is you can do, again, you can do what you want to do. You can, you might not have a major label budget. You might not have a lot of these outlets or channels that you get when you have a label, or you have like a big time, you know, management company backing your, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you have the artistic freedom and like creative control of what you want to do, which is honestly what it's really all about.
Absolutely. Wow. And we're going to play it on the radio, and we can't wait to hear it on the radio. Yeah. I love that. Anything funny, strange, weird story about the road that you've experienced? Something that might surprise people. I think people think it's very glamorous, you know?
Let's see. This most recent run, let me, you know,
talking to me from your truck, so that's a start.
I am, yeah, and I'm just trying to think of just some, you know, I guess I don't have to give out any names or whatever, but like, it's really funny, like, so to me, one of the things that it's again, you got to roll with the day. You got to roll with, you know, the punches and whatnot. So we played, this place in Athens, Ohio. And, I'm not going to mention the name, even though if people want to know, they can look it up on the schedule, but we played there and there was like, it was a real not super rowdy crowd, but it was a very drunk crowd, and even the bartender and the door guy got pretty wasted, so they ended up messing up our payment and this, that, and the other. But then we were parked. We've gotten so lucky with parking, because we pulled, we're in a Toyota Tacoma pulling a 25-foot camper, so we're like 40 feet long. So parking, when we're doing these, playing these bars and clubs, sometimes parking, it's like, holy crap, like,
yeah.
You know, we've gotten lucky. So, you know, knock on wood, that keeps happening when we needed to. But there was a guy at the show, there was a guy at the show that was really nice, very generous, and, was like, hey, man, I work at this winery, and if you guys want to come park your camper outside there so you're not parked next to this bar where there's going to be noise till 4 a.m. and all these people roaming the road drunk, you know. And I was like, okay, great. So I was like, how far away do you live? And he said 1.5 miles. And this guy, I was like, okay, great, you know, we'll do this, I'll follow you. And after about 15 miles of driving,
oh, no.
I pulled out my phone. I was gonna call and be like, hey man, like, this is a lot farther than 1.5 miles. I could see if it was like a few miles or whatever,
yeah.
But it was really far away. So then we get there, find out this guy was like, he was pretty, let's say he had some uppers in his system, and wanted to like party and rage with us. And like after we pull up, and a whole long story short, we pulled around, like he was pretty lit himself. So he was doing a terrible job of trying to tell us where to park and this, that, and the other. And like, I thought we were going to kind of park in like this winery, like parking lot or some.
That's what
room,
I pictured.
It was just out in the middle of nowhere. And then, we finally got parked, and this is it at this point, this is, you know, it's not crazy late. It's probably close to 1 a.m. And, we had a gig the next day, and a decent drive we had to do. So we just wanted to go to sleep. You know, we wanted to just kind of rest because we had things to do the next day. And this guy just wanted to rage. And, honestly, like the weirdest, funniest things have just been our parking situation. Like, there was another one time when we parked in Atlanta where we were in a parking lot, and then we got there at nighttime. So we didn't realize we were about 30 yards from a train track. So at 4:30 in the morning, we wake up and there's just freight train coming, blowing by, honking its horn. And then the place we were parked in last night, we parked in a Planet Fitness parking lot because we wanted to work out and use the showers in the morning. And then right after we parked, we realized we were about 100 yards away from a fire department after two fire trucks came out, blazing their sirens and their horns. And I'm like, oh, dude, like, you know, so now these things, when we actually have to go to those places, it's like, okay, what's nearby?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Check
you
it out.
Look,
yeah.
You look on the map. But sometimes, honestly, it's like, you'll sleep. Let the trains go by. We'll get some sleep. It's just, you're tired of driving. You just want to get parked and just chill, you know? And like, that's what earplugs are for. So anyways, nothing too crazy, but definitely some funny moments for sure.
Well, I hope everyone will come and hear more Dusty Bow stories, but more importantly, come and hear the music, because it is terrific. Dude. And again, Dusty is going to be playing. Oh, my pleasure. Wow. Dusty's going to be playing at the Red Rooster coming up on Sunday, October 16th. It's a 3:30 show. Of course, the Red Rooster is in Madison, and he'll be playing with Aaron Williams and the Hoodoo. Again, Sunday fun day. I think we should all be there. Hey, how do we best keep up with you? Are you on all the socials?
I'm on all the socials. On Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It's all the same handle. It's just Dusty Vox, DustyVox. And then on Facebook, just Dusty Bow Music. Same thing with YouTube, I believe, Dusty Bow Music. And yeah.
Awesome. Dusty, thanks for joining us, and thank you for your terrific music. Can't wait to see you live. That is just going to be a kick.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Me too. All right. We will see you at the Red Rooster on October 16th. And thanks again, Dusty. This is Max Inc. Radio, and we are local music.